Hey, this is Josh from Cattle Decapitation. You're watching CMS TV.
Turn it up. You're listening to Live and Loud with the Lord, Nelson,
that is. Five metal releases of March 2024.
This world is evil! Angel of the devil!
Ladies and gentlemen, once again, you know who it is. It is the big guy with the big show, the Lord Nelson, that is. Yes, indeed. From the podcast Live and Loud with the Lord on the CMS Network with Five Royals Entertainment. And ladies and gentlemen, you see her over there. You see the smile. You see the smile. It's going to be a lovely, lovely conversation. But as always, you know, I've got to big her up before we get started. So if she doesn't mind, I will go into it like this. Ladies and gentlemen, when you come across a music lover like yourself who has a passion and love for music, you just feel compelled to request their presence on your show. My next guest is a metal music aficionado and speaks with a knowledge of the genre that is second to none. You can tell that she really feels the music she plays and speaks about on her social media pages in the most cool and calm manner. I ask her about that right there, though. You know what I'm saying? But yeah. Knowing that a headbanging energy is right under the surface waiting to erupt. That's just how I feel. She is an avid record collector, businesswoman, and metal connoisseur, and I am honored and blessed to have her grace the shores of the big guy with the big show. So without further ado, I welcome to the Live and Loud with the Lord show, the awesome Ebony of Metal and Coffee.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate that.
Awesome. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. So always the first question is, where are you from, young lady?
I'm from, I was born in New Jersey. I live in New Jersey, but I've been living in Pennsylvania most of my life. I grew up in this area called Lehigh Valley when I was a teen, but when I went to college, I moved to Philly, and I've been here pretty much ever since with a few moves here and there.
Okay, so before I move to the next one, so I don't want to have beef with you being that I am a Pittsburgh Steelers fan. I'm from the South. So I don't know where you are with that. I don't know if you're a big football fan or anything, but you did say Philly.
I did, yeah.
And I just, listen, we got Justin Fields and Russell Wilson now. We're kind of stacking them up. I'm just saying.
I'm just like here for a good time for football. I don't care who wins.
She's in Philly, but she's a Pittsburgh Steelers fan. I'm claiming that.
Yeah,
we're claiming her on this side. That's awesome. So what's the best thing about being in Philly?
The music scene. I have been into music for a long time. When I was growing up, I wasn't really, didn't really know I liked metal, but I knew that, I was into always the heaviest side of the top 40. So when I was growing up, I only had TRL, but I was always that Linkin Park fan, that Korn fan. So I was always on that side or on the pop punk side. And so my motivation for going to college in Philly was to be in a big city where there's actual music scene so I can go to shows all the time.
Oh, awesome. Awesome. So if I came to hang out with you in Philly, where would you take me to hear the best live music and get the best cheesesteak, of course?
Oh, well, I'm going to disappoint you with cheesesteaks. I don't do those. They're not really that exciting for me.
Not exciting for you. So the second part of that is, where would you take me to, you know, I'm a big guy. Where would you take me to get something good to eat? So let's ask it about the venue first. We can flip it up. It's good.
Venue. So I think I'm really into like either super, super small or semi-big. So Kung Fu Necktie is a dive bar that I live like right a couple blocks away, and they always have really good heavy metal shows, but also they have dance parties on the weekend because I'm very eclectic. Even though my presence online is metal, I listen to everything. So I like to go there to get my dance on, and then sometimes I'll go there on a weeknight after work and just walk to a show, and you know, be like a solo adventure, but it's like a fun thing for me to do. But that's where I take you for sure. Also, that's a great bar. Actually a proper venue called Underground Arts. Mm-hmm. They actually have a really good lineup, consistent lineup as well. So I take you to either of those places. Gotcha. In terms of food, I'm really into Asian cuisine.
Okay.
So I just like Thai or Chinese food, all that. So there's a place called Don Don that I always order from. Uh-huh. And I just like to get their fried rice lo mein, and then they have this really cool hot pepper chicken dish. I'm into spicy food. I eat spicy food like every day. Really? Something that good for you. But yeah, I'm one of those people, like, I tried like the hottest ramen. Mm-hmm. That went viral a little bit on TikTok, but I was just eating that. I was sweating, but I was just eating it. Like, but yeah, I'd probably take you there.
Well, I always think that, like, my wife and my daughters and my son and I, we're more alike, but we're not hot, man. Spicy food, they can eat the spicy food. I think women can handle it more than men can. You know, really. I mean, honestly, I'm just like, I don't. Anytime we go, like, we have Indian or we go to a Chinese restaurant or Asian restaurant, they get the hot. You know, when we're in the Indian, I'm just like, they ask me the heat level. I say, baby. I can't give me the baby level. And they just always laugh. You know, it's a big guy. They was all baby. I said, definitely baby. Well, growing up, what music did your parents listen to? And do you still listen to any of that music?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I grew up on Prince, of course, Stevie Wonder, Al Green. I need to listen to Al Green, actually. What's that jazz musician? Something G. Kenny Is that G? Ringing the bell? Yeah, Kenny G. Yeah.
Listen to this young lady.
I have like an oldies playlist. My mom used to listen to a lot of America. That band.
Okay.
Yeah. So I got my love for like kind of the indie kind of stripped down music. I love singer songwriter music too. Gotcha, I'm really into that. But yeah, definitely nothing like what I listen to now.
Uh-huh.
But it's definitely something where I'm like, usually every Saturday, I'm always starting off with like some kind of Stevie Wonder, because that's my favorite musician for sure.
So all of those things that you're mentioning, you know, I have, as you said, used the word eclectic earlier, and I listen to everything. So, I mean, I'm everywhere. You know, I'm a military kid. I always say it, but I'm glad I am, because I receive so much culture. For so many different genres of music, and I enjoy everything. And I know, so you know, a lot of times people, they just look at me, they're like, this dude can listen to anything. You know, one of my really good friends, like my brother Cabo San, he was just like, hey, remember when we were in the elevator and the elevator music was playing, and you were just like, that is so awesome, man. I was just like, yeah, man. The sounds of it, I love music. I can't help it. It's just, it's the best thing in the world to me. It really is.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I do. If I'm like shopping in a grocery store, like I probably know most of the songs in the grocery store, and I'm like, I don't really care. I start singing along, like, cause I'm just, you know, trying to enjoy the experience of having, like, I don't like going out anyway, but if I'm going to go out to the grocery store and go shopping, I'm going to sing and do my thing and walk around 100%. To whatever, Sheryl Crow, whatever. I know a lot of Sheryl Crow songs, but.
Awesome. So describe Ebony as a teen, meaning, What kind of student were you? Were you popular or reserved or very outspoken and outgoing?
Extremely reserved, definitely on the shy side. Because I went to a private school. I don't regret it, but it was definitely a primarily like white private school, and I didn't really feel like I meshed well with anybody there.
Okay.
And so I had a very like sheltered high school experience. Cause I just go to high school, and then come back home, like not trying to hang out with anybody.
Right.
I have a few friends, of course. Like most of my friends were in like the next grade level up. Mm-hmm. So I kind of was able to anchor on them because they were also people of color. They had a Latina friend and also a black friend, but no one else was like black in my grade. I think there was like one black girl, but we didn't. I think she was just trying to fit in with the other white people and not really trying to speak to me. But anyway, I did mostly keep myself. I was shy. I was still super into music, though. That was definitely something that kept me centered and grounded. I can definitely name all the artists I was listening to. It was nothing super heavy, but I was super into Maroon 5 when they first came out in high school. Super into Jason Mraz. I love my singer-songwriter stuff, so I literally was like, I was literally collecting all his music and downloading it and all that. Right. I love John Mayer. Yeah. I loved him. I don't know what he's doing right now. I have no idea. but yeah, I just anchored onto real music like heavily during my teens because I didn't really find any like genuine, too many genuine connections because I just felt like I didn't have a lot of friends. And so with me anchoring onto music so strongly, I was definitely an online kid. I was on the message boards. I was on the message boards for Jason Mraz. I was like one of the most active people on there, talking to people, connecting to people. A lot of online friends I was making. I was just kind of just in my own little world, I'd say, mostly as a teen.
Yeah, music was your escape, you know, where you can just get away and just do your thing. And listen, there's nothing wrong with that. I still will get in my vehicle or when, you know, I'm in a band called Plastic Catastrophe. And when Matt sends me music, I mean, I can listen to it in the house. I can put my AirPods on or whatever. But I like to go get in my vehicle and just drive around. It could be 2 a.m, 3 a.m. I'm going to go and I'm going to turn that music up and I'm going to drive and I'm just going to enjoy it because music is definitely my escape. I always say that music is a time machine. It's just the best thing to me. So anytime I may play, you know, just like you say, it could be an Al Green song. It could be a John Mayer song. It's going to take me back to a time where I was and I just feel it because I'm so visual and I'm just like, I'm there again. And so it just makes me feel beyond. I don't know. A lot of times certain people can't understand, but I figure you would because you love music like that. So that's a beautiful thing. Yes, indeed.
Yes, for sure.
You're a metal connoisseur. Now, so we'll kind of go into it because you said you like other kind of other genres of music. So is there any other one that you are passionate about?
As passionate as metal? Honestly, I'd say just house or in general, electronic music.
Yes.
Like all that, like house, synthwave stuff, right. Electropop, like even like a little heavily, I don't know what the subgenre is actually called, but when they mix electronic and R&B, I like that stuff as well. I love just, I'm not a big dancer, but I'm a dancer at home, you know?
Hold on, so. I saw you dancing, talking about some bad metal and stuff.
Sometimes I'll talk about that later, but outside of metal, like, because the reason why I favor metal is because it really invokes a lot of strong emotion. Like I have like preferences, right? There's like all these subgenres of metal. I preferred like the heavily blues influenced metal. I don't really do black metal or thrash, stuff that is like too nothing against those genres, but I don't do stuff that's like too directionless to me.
Okay.
Like there's not that, like it's not going anywhere.
Wow.
but I do love sludge. I do love stoner metal. I love post metal, prog metal, because all of that to me, the thing that all those have in common is that they take you on a very intense journey. Mm-hmm. And they, a lot of them are like rooted in blues. So you'll get a lot of really great guitar solos are really great. Even if it's like repetitive, it's like something that you want to listen to on repeat anyway, because it's such a great riff and it invokes a lot of, you know, mean stink faces and all that.
Right.
And so don't bring that over to like electronic music. I just like to feel good. Like I like to, have that, disco beat. That's my thing. I love having that disco beat and that electronic music. And, you know, even though they mostly sing about the most basic stuff, like, you know, I want to be with you or, you know, breaking up or whatever. Like, I don't care how simple the lyrics are. I'm listening to the beat. And so I'll sing and just hang out and just enjoy it. So that really makes me feel good. If I'm having a bad day, I'm putting on either a really dense and riffy metal song, or I'm putting house music on.
I got you. Listen, both are great. Quick story. Mm-hmm. And because I do a little bit of the EDM stuff, I'm gonna send you some stuff. I really do, because I just like I say, I love all kinds of music. So the story is that, of course, my brother's a DJ, my family's totally into music. My brother has an internet radio station. Nice. We've always been into music. He used to take me with him and sneak me in the clubs. I was too young to get in the clubs, but he'd sneak me in there just so I can carry speakers and stuff back in the day and carry all the record crates and everything like that. He used to use me, man. He introduced me to so many big bands and artists. But so touring with Stuck Mojo, mm-hmm. we were with Ectomorph, and we were in not Hungary. We were in Amsterdam. And mm-hmm. so here we are. We have this metal show at the Paradiso in Amsterdam. The show is sold out. We have a great time. It's amazing. So afterwards, myself and the drummer, LSU, Steve mm-hmm. Underwood, Nails, we would hang out somewhat. And so they didn't kick everybody out. After the show, everybody leaves, and then they bring mm-hmm. in the EDM crowd.
Ah.
So it sells out again. So I'm like, wow. So here we are in there, and I'm just, you know, we get up there with the DJ, and I'm just looking mm-hmm. out at the crowd, and I'm like, this is amazing. I was like, I've mm-hmm. always loved this music, so when I get back, I've got to make some music. So I've made some things. I've done some things. I'll send it to you, though. It's all
nice.
No. But it's definitely an amazing genre, and there's 9 mm-hmm. million subgenres of that, just like it is in metal. So, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, though. No, so I'm feeling you. Ladies and gentlemen. Ebony is becoming one of my very, very good friends.
Yeah, a lot in common.
Yes, indeed. So was there a specific moment or event when you knew you had a passion and love for metal beyond the norm?
Oh, gosh. I mean, I guess I'm first realizing that I'm beyond normal, huh?
You are beyond the normal. I know some people, Richard Markham, there's some other people that are really... They are metal. I mean, I've tried to get him mm-hmm. on the show. He knows everything about every subgenre of metal music. That's why I wanted him on the show. And so I feel the same way about you. Looking at your content, I'm like, she's super knowledgeable. So I'm sorry.
That's okay.
That's all.
Let's see. Okay. So I got into DJing, radio DJing in college.
Yeah,
yeah. And so that was kind of the gateway for me to really dive into exactly the kind of music that I wanted to hone in on. Mm-hmm. And the fact that the radio station was non-commercial, you know, all the stuff that was being played on the radio already commercially, you cannot play, obviously.
Wow.
So that forced me to really dive deep into underground mm-hmm. Rock and metal. And so I think at that point, it was something that became a really interesting subject for me to study, because I took my radio DJ college radio DJ career seriously, even though it was, you know, kind of like nothing major, but like I was just like preparing what I'd say in between songs and making sure that I actually have something valuable to say in between mm-hmm. songs rather than just be like, oh, what you just heard was yada yada, here's the next song. Yeah. I was trying to offer a little bit more than that. Right. And so I did spend a lot of time researching the various genres and kind of understanding, oh, okay, stoner metal, that comes from blues and a little bit of the heavy metal scene in the 80s, et cetera, et cetera. So I was trying to like learn that stuff. So I had actually had like good stuff to say in between the songs. So I think it started there in my just interest in kind of understanding the different kinds of metal, even though different kinds of metal, the subgenres are probably like mostly made up, but they stick, you know. you know, it just comes from somebody's like, oh, that sounds like this and this together, hardcore, metal together, metalcore. Okay. but I really enjoyed the act of like just learning about the different subgenres and also learning about the bands mm-hmm. and how they came to be where they are now. And even understanding if I just regular people like us too, like being like, oh yeah, I still have my full-time job, but I'm also, you know, I'm also like an industrial metal artist, like, right. and I say that like thinking about Author and Punisher, cause he's like somebody who I really like. But he's also a mechanical engineer by day, mm-hmm. very like, and it's kind of cool to like learn those things about, metal musicians, like, oh, they have profession sometimes,
right.
You know, along with their, you know, music endeavors. So I think it's pretty cool to learn all that stuff. And I think that's why I ended up becoming as knowledgeable as I am, even though I don't really see myself that way.
No, you are definitely, you're that one. You can go ahead and give yourself some kudos. I understand that you can be humble, but you understand it. And listen, as I tell a lot of people, the music is your job. Your job is your hobby.
Right, yeah.
A lot of people don't get that. It's like, what did you say? What are you talking about? No, that's real. don't say that this is a hobby to me. I know how much I love this and how much time and effort and money I put into it. So don't say right. that. You know, it's offensive. You know?
yeah, I guess I don't really, I don't really view it as offensive right now, but I guess as my account grows and as I get more traction, I'm just like, you know what? I'm getting paid some time for this, so I guess it's not a hobby anymore.
That's what I'm saying, but no, listen, you have a great following. You're doing super well. And hey, continue success in all you're doing. So what was, and we're talking about it now. I'm just diving a little deeper because you have great answers and I love it. So what is it about metal music that excites your senses like no other though? What is it? What just gets you?
I love the combination of the really, really harsh vocals and the distortion that often accompanies the guitar work and the bass work. It is a magical combination because it's almost like something, almost like igniting rage inside of you, but the good kind of rage. Mm-hmm. Like it's not the same as like feeling the beat in like electronic music when you're just dancing. Mm-hmm. It's more so like, oh, I'm gonna punch something. Nothing, nothing obviously like punch another individual, but like right. I'm gonna slam on my desk and just like, that's so fucking good.
Yeah,
at least that's how I picture it. And I think because it invokes that kind of euphoric feeling, very like cathartic feeling. Not a lot of genres of music can like invoke that. Mm. And sometimes you just want to like throw out a punch or two and like slam your feet on the ground and do a little headbanging and get some stuff out. And right. it's nice to actually have a go-to for that and actually listen to music that makes you feel like you're getting something out, because I know metal music is not all about being angry. Some people will tell you different and they're wrong, because it's definitely some positive metal music, but I think it's good to get that energy out of you, and I think metal does that the best for me.
I got you. Well, I know that my brother's Vengeance from Napa, California, I don't know if you ever heard of Vengeance, and they've been around for a while, and you should check them out. and my brother Relentless. We were born on the same day. I was the officiant at his wedding. And he and his beautiful wife, and you know, they flew me out to California. I married he and his wife, man. And it's, and listen, you know, I toured with them for an entire month when I was with Stuck Mojo and with Ectomorph and Vengeance. So, and Tenside, there's a few other people, but the thing was, is that Vendetta, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. So, it was a great time in my life of me being this person that I am, really getting to see that other side of metal, because really, I just knew the stuff that played on radio. You know, mm-hmm. I knew the Iron Maidens and the Metallicas and those things like that. And, you know, Black Sabbath, Ozzy Osbourne and all those. That's what I knew. But mm-hmm. here I am digging into these other genres. So I would go out there and I would watch them. Mm-hmm. I would listen, you know, and we were, it was co-headlining with Ectomorph. And I'm looking at Zoli, and Zoli and I got really cool. And I'm just mm-hmm. like, you know, because we're front men, but I'm just like looking at them. And now I'm getting it. Now I'm feeling all the energy. Now I'm looking in the crowd. And I'm just mm-hmm. like, wow, now yeah. I get it. And I'm looking at Relentless like, wow, I get mm-hmm. it. And so they have a song that probably the favorite of mine is As It All Sours. Mm-hmm. It has that melodic in it. And then they just, anyway, man, it's just great. And I did a song with them, a political song.
I like melodic.
Anyway, it was just love. It's just love. And it just got me so excited. And I was just like, I get it now. I'm there. Mm-hmm. Anyway, this is about you. I'm just excited because, you know, kindred spirits. This is love.
Yeah.
So is there a specific, now you've spoken about many genres, is there a specific mm-hmm. subgenre of metal or just metal that does it for you more than the others?
Dad metal. No, I'm just kidding. Well, it is closely aligned. So prog progressive metal.
Really?
that was my gateway drug into metal in general, because when I was first getting into metal, I was into prog rock mostly, so I was kind of getting that melodic intricate guitar work with, like, you know, songs like that are 10 minutes. I was getting into
right.
And then I first heard Opeth, and yeah. I was like, oh, this is my first time experiencing some harsh vocals here, even though they don't do harsh vocals anymore, but they did it. Their last harsh vocal album was Watershed. And so I got into them when I think the Ghost Reveries came out, either that or Watershed, one of those. But anyway, they were my introduction into progressive metal and hearing that kind of very long cinematic, filled with interludes kind of music with harsh vocals and kind of taking you through acts of a play pretty much. That's how I describe progressive music. And so, yeah, prog metal is my gateway into the metal world, but it's definitely still my number one subgenre, right along with post-metal. I think those two are equal for me.
I got you, indeed. And so you mm-hmm. say Opeth and the band that I just, the present episode that I have out right now, The Funeral Procession, they've been, you know, people say like, hey, Opeth and Catatonia, that they're something like that. And they're just cool guys. Great conversation. I have a great conversation with all my guests, but it was just, you know, just amazing when you said Opeth. It just made me think about them. But that is the episode that's out now. But just amazing.
Nice.
It really is. So if I asked your closest friend, I'm sure you have more friends now.
Yes, for
I'm one
sure.
now. Hello. If I asked your closest friend or friends to describe Ebony, what do you think they would say?
Ooh, that's a good question. I'm very particular for okay. sure.
Yeah.
And I always want to make everyone feel like they fit in. Mm-hmm. But also, you know, my way or the highway. I'm getting better with that. My mom used to say that to me.
Women.
I'm a little selfish. It's fine,
it's not
but
only
hey,
you. It's not only
I'm still convinced that most of the time I'm right, you know. So I'm rarely wrong. That's kind of why I'm a programmer for a living. I'm a software engineer for a living, uh-huh. and so I sit there and I'm coding, and it's a very intensive like process. Like you have to think through all this stuff. And so I think that's why this profession works for me, because I'm so detailed oriented and I'm so particular and I'm slightly selfish and having to know all the things and that having to be like, oh, this is right. Mm-hmm. But either way, I know those aren't qualities. I'm mostly joking, but there's just things I know about myself that I can be like that, but right. I'm not really 100% like that. And if I've definitely been doing work to limit that when I need to limit it.
Listen, you gotta be who you are and what you feel. So I like to tell people, like I always tell my wife and my kids, they always laugh at me, but they get upset with me sometimes. But I always say, I'm 99.9% correct all of the time. Now I say that to mess with people, but mm-hmm. I really say that because the majority of the time I'm talking about what I know. Otherwise, yeah. I'm just listening. So
right.
that's so that I always said, I was like, don't get mad with me. You know, but so you know what they all do? They what? Do it is in them to make me wrong, to find just like you're wrong on that one. You went right. I was just like, I said, well, that's I'm like, yeah, okay, it happens. You know, I said, I'm not mad with it. It
right.
happens. But no, I'm just like you. I'm just confident in who I am. I love yeah. who I am. I've come to grips with who I am. And of course, we all have things that I could be better at this. I could do this or whatever like that. But I've just really learned to love who I am and knowing that this mm-hmm. is me. There's only one me, you know, I'm a one of one and it's what it is. So no, I applaud you.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, you just.
I like how you justified me being right all the time.
Yeah,
No, it's good. It's though. I understand. I like your point of view because like, I only will like fight for the things I know well, right. just like you, yes. you know?
Yes.
And not only do I know them well, I am very particular with when I choose to respond yes. to things and fight for things. And uh-huh. if I speak up about something, that means I thought about it for days.
Right, right.
So that's the reason why I say like, I'm right most of the time. I did the research.
I understand it clearly. And I can clown with everybody. I can do it all. You know, I can get in there and have fun, but I know that, you know, when it's certain things that I'm passionate about or I'm speaking about, you know, mm-hmm. I'll speak about it. Now, there's still plenty of times I like to learn. I don't mind yep. learning. You know, mm-hmm. right now, having this conversation with you, I'm still learning so much. And that's why I really am enjoying this. Indeed. So thank yeah. you. Thank you very much. So what was the first concert you attended? And was it a metal concert? And if not, what was the first metal concert you attended?
Well, the first concert I attended was Jimmy Eat World. They're a pop punk band for sure. I saw them in seventh grade and I loved it. It was kind of a weird experience because I was like my first time being in a big crowd. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is so weird. But, you know, I definitely realized that it was my thing for sure. So I really enjoyed it. My first metal concert, gosh, that is a good question. I feel like I'm at a point where I've went to over like 300 plus shows in my lifetime. So it's very hard for me to think about which metal band I saw for the first time. Maybe it was maybe Cult of Luna.
Mm-hmm.
I saw them in New York when I just had started college. So I think that might've been the first concert I was really into.
Mm-hmm.
They're a post-metal band from Sweden, so I was like all about them and still am all about them. But yeah, they are the first metal concert, I think.
Yes, indeed. So to date, what has been the best show you've been to? That may be hard for you also.
There we go. I'm sorry, what'd you say?
So to date, what has been the best show you've been to?
Oh.
It might be hard for you also. You just said 300.
Gosh, the best show I've been to... It's not going to be a metal show. my choices won't be metal only because it's just not the first show that came to mind, but there's two shows that are equally number one for me right now. And it's mostly because of the crowd experience. It had nothing to do with them being on stage, but it was the energy of the crowd and the very warm feeling I felt. So my first band is Bonobo.
Mm-hmm.
They're a electronic producer. They do a lot of trip hop type stuff. And I went to the show thinking, I'm like, oh, this is kind of weird. Like, I don't know how a trip hop show is going to go. Like, he's just going to be on stage, you know, with his kit and, you know, pressing buttons. I wonder how the crowd's going to be, but it was literally like a big dance party. 100%. Yeah. And I'm just like, I'm going to go there. I want to do this like every week. This is awesome. Yes. And I remember having a dance circle and I was in there dancing, like, cause I was just, you know, doing my thing. And then that second equally number one show, I think the best show I've been to would be Death from Above 1979. They're like a dance punk duo. Mm-hmm. I'm not really sure if they're doing much anyway right now, but the sound system was great. Those two people making all that noise on the stage, fantastic. And it was just such a well-produced show. The sound was amazing and the crowd was just so in sync. Everyone was just like basically friends there and just enjoying themselves as much as I was. So. And so, yeah, it was good. It was good times at both of them.
Oh, awesome. Awesome. Indeed, indeed. So now a little side. So do you like Skindred?
Yeah. Yeah. They had an album come out last year and I covered it. Look, yeah.
So Benji Webb, you know, I did a show with them and one of my ex tour managers, Toad, used to manage them, tour manage them also. And Benji and I are so cool right now. And like Benji's the best front man I've ever seen. So to be on side stage, you know, we opened for him with Lord Nelson featuring Lies at the time, and we opened for him in Paris. Man, I looked at that dude, and I've had him on my show also. Great dude.
Nice. I looked at
Benji, and I was just like, and I just told him afterwards, and I always big him up all the time. I said, hey, man, you're the greatest front man I've ever seen, man. It's just the way that he controlled that crowd.
Yeah.
And the way he had no fear of anything, the way he dresses. And he was just like, we're entertainers. He said, we were supposed to entertain. And I was just like, man, I love it, man. I love it. Anyway.
Yeah. I hope to see Skindred eventually. I hope to see Skindred.
Oh, man. Listen, Benji is that guy. He's that dude. I just love his energy. He's an amazing guy. Indeed. The whole band. Amazing. So you're obviously a lover of tattoos. And I see a few nose piercings. So how many do you have? What was your first one, and do you have a desire for more?
I don't know. The sleeve, I have a whole sleeve. I can't really count how many, because I feel like it's all one cohesive piece. Because I started this with the idea of like all of my entire arm and my chest, I want them to go together seamlessly. Mm-hmm. So I had these, this is like five sessions of work so far, so maybe like five tattoos. My first tattoo is covered up. I got it covered up by the Sunflower. It was a straight edge tattoo. I didn't cover it up for any particular reason. Like, I'm still not super into drinking a lot. I vape here and there. I was never a heavy drinker in general, but it was just like something like, I'm not like fully straight edge. I drink maybe like once a month. So I'm just like, all right, it's not really serving me anymore. So I had it covered up. My latest tattoo is my stomach tattoo. Mm-hmm. Definitely an interesting choice I made because that's the most painful area I've ever experienced.
Really?
And so,
about it too.
I have my next appointment is to finish my stomach tattoo, and then to start a piece on my leg finally, because I've been meaning to start. Yeah. It's a therapeutic experience for sure.
Is it? So what about the piercings though?
No. I'm good with my nose piercings. When I was growing up, I used to be really into like lip piercings. Like, mm-hmm. I'm still kind of interested, like that Monroe piercing or Monroe's, I think that's, and whatever that is. Mm-hmm. I had snake bites for a while when I was 21, I think. I think that experience was what like sealed the deal. I'm like, my skin, I don't really want to deal with like irritation bumps. I don't want to deal with any rejection, because mm-hmm. I started to get a bump under my lip ring, and I'm like, never mind. Right, I think I'm all right. And I'm really into like dental care, and I didn't want anything like banging against my teeth either. Gotcha. So I just settled for my nose piercings, and I'll just, you know, do my tattoo thing.
Do you want to watch the classic metal show all day long? Do you have a Roku? If your answers are yes and yes, then you need to get Wowza TV on your Roku. It's free to install and brings you the classic metal show on your TV 24/7. Just look up and install Wowza TV in the Roku streaming store, and you can enjoy the CMS all day and night right on your TV. Yes, folks, this includes the live editions of the CMS as well. Install Wowza TV now on your Roku and never be without the Classic Metal Show again. Hail and kill.
Tattoos. I don't have a single tattoo. I don't have any piercings. let me say this to you. Just like I don't ride motorcycles, but let me say this also. I love motorcycles. I love that culture. It's crazy. I watched every motorcycle show that I could watch, you know, and tattoos, amazing. And I've seen some of the most amazing, you know, being on tour, and I've just seen it. And I will say that my brother Pierre Hollywood Heineman, that I call him, they call him the you know, we brought him on stage. He's a brother of mine now. Mm-hmm. And he was a fan of Stuck Mojo. But so the first time we came over, met him, great guy, came to a few shows. Next time he came over, he had my logo.
Oh yeah,
up there on his arm that said "Bros for Life." I still get emotional about it because he's like, "Lord, I want to show you something. You may think I'm crazy," and then he showed me, and I was just like, that was just one of the greatest things ever in the world to me that he thought that much of me, and we're still so cool to this day, and you know, he's a barber, but he's he does hair. So he's like, he does the hair of the lead singer of the Scorpions. Man, Pierre is just, listen, he and his wife, Steffi, they're just amazing individuals. Pierre, I love you, my brother. And so, but tattoos I've seen just amazing. I have a lot of friends that have tattoos, and it's just something else. So I always ask questions about it. I really can't help it. And there's I'm sorry. There's one person I follow named Raven. She is into like the, you know, the gauges and getting hooked with the big hooks and hanging tattoos. And she's done, I mean, face, boom. I mean, I'm just like, man, to do that. I mean, I'm not saying she's not a beautiful person, but it's just like, wow, you know, to go through all those things. So I'm going in because it's just like, the thing is that I really love the culture. I've seen some of the most beautiful pieces, and I watched all the tattoo shows and everything like that.
It's really awesome.
So I've heard really cool. different stories about the pain. You said about your stomach. So how painful were they for you, or do you have a high pain tolerance?
I hesitate to say that I do have a high pain tolerance because I feel like people feel like women always have a high pain tolerance. For my arms and stuff like that, I didn't use any tattoo cream at all. Really? Numbing cream. Mm-hmm. Kind of just dealt with it. Of course, the inside here is like really sensitive. Like that was where I was like, you know, really breathing hard. And so I thought I went through the hardest pain that I went through. And then, you know, I got my chest piece done. Mm-hmm. And that like literally like felt like a hot razor blade.
Really?
And I was like, so I my first appointment was to get the lining done. Mm-hmm. And so of course the lining is like the most painful part because that's where you're really drilling in the ink. Right. So I got the lining in, and that was, you know, after I got the lining in, the shading and stuff was like easy. It was just like literally I was talking to him, having a conversation. He was just like, no, doing his little designs and all that. But with the stomach tattoo, like everything hurts. You don't get a break from anything.
Really?
And for some reason I chose really detailed butterflies, and I didn't know, I don't even know why I chose that. I thought, oh yeah, I want a butterfly on my stomach. Not even like considering how detailed and how talented my artist is, and how he literally will include every detail of that butterfly.
Right.
And I didn't just get one, I got three of them.
Right.
Really. And so, you know, when he started, like my first session was without lemon cream. Mm-hmm. And yeah, you know, let's just say I wasn't talking that much. I was just breathing deep breaths through it. You know, about an hour in, the session was only like an hour and 45 minutes. But like, yeah, an hour in, I was like, envisioning him like, okay, don't punch him in the face. Don't punch him in the face. I know you're angry right now. Don't punch him. It hurts, yes. You know. Wow. And in the end of it, he's like, hey, do you want to take a break right now? Do you want to do shading? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, nope, break. Nope. I can't take it anymore. So yeah, the stomach tattoos is a lot to deal with for sure.
Well, shout him out. Who are you speaking about?
Robert Kraza. He has an Instagram. I think it's R Kraza, RKRAIZA, I believe. Okay. But yeah, all his work is on there. He's a wonderful artist, very patient and really, really wonderful guy. He literally did all of this for me. Awesome. And tirelessly. Yeah. So
what's wild is that I'm writing a new song. Boy, Matt just sent me something and I'm really finished it. And I just mm-hmm. know that I'm kind of writing about a female. My wife says, you always like writing about females, whatever. Like, I'm just like, no, I'm actually writing about you, beautiful. And so I'm writing where I say that I'm meeting this young lady and she's got a left, her left arm is full sleeve. So I put that in there. And so anyway, mm-hmm. so that's cool. That just, you know, confirms
yep.
that I'm good with what I'm writing and stuff. So that's lovely. So last question about tattooing. Is there any of the like big star artist tattooers that you would love to have, you know, do a tattoo for you?
Not really. I don't really follow the tattoo industry as enough to know, oh, this artist is really, you know, has really cool work and all that. So I'm just more of a, like, I just want a tattoo. I like your work. Let's do it.
No, cool. And, excuse me, my boy Wayne Munn, he's here where I am. And that's my guy. He's a great tattoo artist also. So anyway, shout out to Wayne and his beautiful wife. So I've just met this young lady named Ebony. And I think you know her very well. Maybe. Is she really that cool and calm? Or will we see a different Ebony at a metal show headbanging your mosh?
Oh. I'm definitely calm all the time.
All the time?
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely more wild by myself, you know, because I'm by myself or the people I'm comfortable with. But, you know, at a metal show, I'm definitely going to be, you know, headbanging within reason, you know, not headbanging with like disregard people around me. And like, you know, some people can just be like that and just have their hair everywhere in people's faces and swinging their arms like that. But I'm very like conscious of mm-hmm. where I am. My concert etiquette is like very on point. Right. Because I've like been in situations where people just are very just ignorant of people around them, and I don't like being like that. So, but you know, I definitely feel the music regardless. Like I'm headbanging, I'm smiling, and pretty much how I look like I'm in my videos. minus the dancing, dad metal dancing. You won't see that. Maybe you will eventually, but.
So she always keeps it lady. Like she's always a lady. Headbanging. I love it. Okay, young lady, let's talk about metal and coffee. What or who inspired this amazing platform and how'd you come up with the name?
A good question. Okay. So I think it was just a random thought, honestly. I have been on the radio or just outwardly speaking online about metal since 2007. Cause when I had my radio show, I would post my playlist online on Twitter mm-hmm. and I would, upload my recorded radio shows to I think my Mixcloud account. I think mm-hmm. I still have that. And I had a point where I was writing album reviews as well.
Right.
And so all that up to maybe 2012 or 2013. I think 2013 is where I decided to write more blogs under my own name. And I was like, all right, well, I need to build a website. Mm-hmm. And so what am I going to call myself? And so I don't really have any huge background to why I chose metal and coffee, but metal and coffee is the coffee part is about me being black. That's what people misconstrue a lot. They're like, where's the coffee? I'm like, the coffee's right here. So
That is awesome. That is awesome.
But I do love coffee, so I don't really correct people at all, because I, you know, coffee is what people find attractive anyway. Like, metal and coffee is like rings off your tongue. It's nice, it's cool. And so I went with that name. I bought the domain name. I was very proud of that. And it's just been metal and coffee since 2012, I think. Yeah.
I got some goosebumps on that one. I don't know why am I getting a little emotional about that? I love that. I think that is so amazing and beautiful, because I was thinking otherwise also, you know, and then, you know, when you say that, it's just like, that's great. I'm telling you, that is really, really awesome. That's awesome. Now I'm at a loss for words. It's not usually with me. Excuse me. That is awesome. I really love that. But seriously, that's a beautiful thing. It really is. Okay, let me get myself together, because my mind is everywhere. I'm just like, when you said that, anyway, it's beautiful. Okay, so, okay, what's the best coffee out there, and how do you drink?
Speaking of coffee, I'm really into local roasters, although I'm not sure if this roaster is local anymore. They might have a franchise, but La Colombe is a popular roaster around Philadelphia. And I live right next to one. And so I really enjoy the process of going to their establishment, because they roast locally and they're in the store. And so I'll just pick out some of the new roast blends and give it a try. I mostly go for stuff that's roasted with chocolate, of course, or toffee, or raspberries, apples, like really sweet stuff like that. So.
As people always say, like, I probably put more creamer than coffee in there. Like, you know,
Yeah, I used to do that. But then I realized that it's the quality of the coffee. Like, if you get a really, really, quality coffee that legit tastes great without creamer, then all you need to do is add a little bit, if any, because that's what I realized. Yeah.
So I know my son, he drinks it black. I don't know how he does it, but he's like, no, Dad, it's really, I tried it, man. I'm just not like, you know, I'm not there. But like my daughters, so here's the deal. Starbucks, Dunkin' Donuts, do you mess with them at all, or you just
Yeah, I mean, honestly, like, it used to be a thing for Dunkin' Donuts, where I really mostly gravitate towards, but it used to be a thing where I'd spoil myself. I'm like, oh, if I don't feel like making coffee, you know, I will just order coffee or go get me a Dunkin' Donuts coffee, because I'm definitely into that. But I think I've gotten so good at making my own coffee where I did it like 2 months ago, and I'm just like, what in the sugar infested coffee is this? And I'm just like, this is too sweet. I'm like, I'm making my own. I guess I'm over it. At this point. So
Well, all I know is that I was on a kick of cold coffee. Mm-hmm. My wife bought this, coffee maker. It's a Keurig, and it's, you know, it makes cold coffee also. But the thing is that I made a cup of coffee. I had it in my Yeti cup, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm heading out, but I left it. I forgot it.
I got Yeti.
Yes. So I forgot it. And I put it, so I left it on the counter. So my wife took it and put it in the refrigerator. So she's like, you know, you left your coffee. I said, I know. But she was just like, but I put it in the refrigerator. I was just like, because I'd never drank cold coffee before. I was just making my own. I had this mix. You know, I go to Publix and bought this creamer, and I had it. I was good.
Yeah.
So I pulled that coffee out and I just tasted it. Mm-hmm. It was the best thing I had ever had in my life. I was like, I'm never drinking cold coffee. I can't eat coffee, ice cream, and none of that. It was the best thing I had ever had. So I went on a kick for months of just like, and I would drink that just through, you know, I'd have it for a long time. I wouldn't just drink it straight down. But it was just, I was like, this is magnificent.
And it's like, different.
Yeah, I was like, I'm pretty good. I might open up a coffee shop or something. Like, this is a cold brew. Anyway, amazing. So, let me say this to you, young lady. I love your delivery with your content, because The music is loud and heavy and brutal, and you speak about it with a coolness that embraces the listener to want to hear it. So is this a deliberate thing?
Nope, that's just who I am.
This is who you are. Awesome. I'm trying to pull out the crazy in her, but no, she's just cool like that. I love it. I love it.
Yeah, I mean, I enjoy I write scripts. Whenever I'm talking in a video, I just write a script for it, so I know what I'm talking about and have just more confidence in what I'm speaking. So, so yeah, I mean, I just deliver how I deliver. I know I sound like a little baby with my high pitched voice when I'm talking over the metal music, but I just enjoy describing what I can in my own voice. I think my point of view as not only a Black woman in the metal, but as someone who's like not a musician at all, I'm just a consumer. And I think that point of view is important because I feel like a lot of people who do similar things to what I'm doing, like content creation to the music, they're also musicians. So right. I feel like you don't get the point of view of someone who's like not even a musician, who's just literally just listening to music. So right. I do think it's important to try to express my opinions from that perspective and use that to also like bring people in. Cause some people just really, really want to listen to somebody talk to you. People enjoy that. And some people enjoy just listening to music. So I try to satisfy both sides.
You are doing a magnificent job of it. And I really think it's a great balance because just like I say, of what the music is. And then you come like, hey, so this, I'm just, no, but what I'm telling you truly, when I say that it embraces you, it's like you open up, like, come on in and let me give this to you without yelling at you and telling you this. So it's a, it's a beautiful, I'm a Libra, so it's a beautiful balance, you know? So I'm telling you, you're doing a great job with that. You're amazing. You're doing an amazing job. I really, really love it. And I don't say I love a lot of things. I mean, I do, but you know, I don't love things, but I'm doing is I love it. So what is the mission statement of Metal and Coffee?
Good question. I guess I'll come up with it on the spot. Let's see. My mission statement is to expose people to bands that are underground, non-commercial, mostly from a person who doesn't look like everybody else in the scene, which those two things are important to me because I still think there needs to be more diversity in the metal scene. And so openly talking about the bands that I like and helping to bring other people in who might not even have thought about metal because they don't see anybody like them listening to metal, so why would that even influence them? Them seeing me and then them seeing me describe or seeing me dance along to metal or just be like passionate about a band that they've never heard of.
Right.
I think that is really important to expanding diversity and inclusion in the metal scene and also bringing more eyes to metal bands who do not have enough eyes on them. I do cover popular bands here and there, but that's not the main goal for me. Like I do it seldomly, but it literally is like the videos that I post are intentional and not like clout chasing. Like, you know, I like Sleep Token like everybody else. I posted a video, but you know, I'm not about riding waves. I'm not about being like, all right, what band is everybody talking about today? I'll make sure to talk about them too, so I can get some views. Like I've literally never done that. And I think it's just very important to show that I love music and you can too, and here's some recommendations.
No, great. No, thank you for that. I like that because like you, I tell people, I just want to have great content, great people, big bands, small bands. It doesn't matter to me, just as long as it's great music. I want to enjoy the music. And so Shauna O'Donnell, and then there's another publicist, they send me, you know, let me tell you something. There are so many metal bands out there. Some of those names, I was just like, wow, that, or, you know, and it's just like, but then you get to hear that music. It's something new to you. And some of it has been like beyond, I've become like great fans of it. of them. And I'm just like, hey, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. And I really do appreciate every single guest that has ever come on this show, because this time that we're spending is priceless to me. And it means the world to me. It really does. That's just who I am. And so I'm thankful and grateful. And yeah, there's so many bands out there. And so I don't even have to. I was going to ask you, how open are you to new bands? But you are open to new bands that you like. You know, so, you know, that is really cool. And I just applaud you. You're doing a great job. And listen, you being a beautiful woman of color and doing your thing. And like, I really didn't even want to go deep into those kind of things and even ask those questions, because we know what we do. We know what we like, and we know who we are. You see us. You see me. You don't have to question that. But don't tell me that I can't be here or there or right. whatever, because as I did a Beyonce thing is the episode before, I was just like, Beyonce made a country song. I love country music too. You can't tell me what I can like and what I can do. I think that's crazy. You don't own this. You don't own music. Yeah. Music is universal. It's for everybody. So, so when I'm playing my music, don't look at me strange because I'm playing this. This is what I like. You know,
right.
This is America. I'm a human being. I have the freedom to like what I want to like. So, you know,
exactly,
as I said, everybody can have their opinions. Doesn't mean you're right, you know?
Right.
You're right all the time. 99.9% of the time, just like most of the time we are. But anyway, just love music. And even when you do speak on the topics of the more melanated, beautiful people that we are, I sat there and I just listened. I was just like, wow, I'm feeling it. I get it. You know, I understand it. And not that we have to scream it to the, you know, the top of the mountains, but we are here and we do have a presence also. Shout out to my brother Bones and Ice-T and all those other, because you put out some other people that I didn't know about. And so I was just like, oh, that's love. That's cool. Oh, that's amazing right there. I was like, oh, really? Oh, no. So what I'm saying is that you're doing a great job and continue doing what you're doing. It's just really love. It's real love. We're getting close to the end here. I don't want this to end, to be honest with you. I'm having a great time. So what is the difference you feel from classic metal to the present creators?
Oh, classic metal. Hard question. I mean, my first thought is just the production, right? The production style has changed.
Yes.
Certain things are mixed a little louder than others these days. And so there's that, but I think classic versus current metal, I think there is just a lot more diversity in the sound. Mm-hmm. Like back then, when it comes to classic metal and the variety that was back then, you're more likely to hear bands that sounded similar because they use the same formula.
Okay.
And of course, you know, that is true for modern metal as well, but the spectrum is much wider. Mm-hmm. And you are less likely to run into that in, for example, like jazz metal is a thing. I'm not sure if people know that jazz metal is a thing, but it is.
I didn't know.
There's math metal as well. Math metal mostly adheres to the fact that of time signatures being very complex and jarring and very disoriented. So there's that. And so like, I feel like that, the fact that there's so many different mixtures of metal, like so many different musicianship type stuff that go into metal these days versus it being so like constrained back then. I think that's what makes classic metal differ from modern metal. People have their preferences still. Like right. I obviously prefer more modern metal because it's kind of what I cover. Yeah. But people, you know, people like their classic metal too, and they just want to stick to that, and that's fine. Because I like Black Sabbath too. I love Black Sabbath. That's great.
Of course. She's just young. Listen to her. She's just a young lady, but it's all love, though. We get it. So you see the scream for metal that I have is my brother, Hellfire Frankie and Andres. They have a great show, and they're in Germany. And Frankie and I were just kind of like, once again, kindred spirits. We met on when I was touring with Stuck Mojo, and we've just been cool for so many years. And so I like to big them up. This first time I actually wore this hat. I got the T-shirt over there.
I love the hat.
Like, yeah, but I love it. And they do their thing. They're great, great, great dudes. And I really think that Richard Markham, I'm going to say his name out loud. Richard Markham is one of the most knowledgeable individuals about all of these genres of metal. You guys definitely have to get together on Facebook or whatever like that. He's one of a great guy. Great, great, great human being. Mr. Markham, I love you. But you guys would have a great conversation because he really knows all of the genres of metal. He loves music, but he knows metal. And like when we were on tour, that tour I was telling you about with Vengeance and Ectomorph. So when we were with Napalm Records at the time. And so the one of the reps from Napalm Records is on the bus and they started talking about pirate metal. You're just like, what?
Viking metal too?
Yeah, so then he played it. And I was like, these guys are really talking, you know, they're singing like they're pirates. I was like, this is the craziest thing ever. But it was cool, you know, and it was big over there at the time. I was like, pirate metal. Wow.
Chief wow.
But there's all kinds of metal. Anyway, it's wild, but it's all love. So how many albums do you think you own, and what is your most priceless and precious one?
I probably own close to 300, which is not, you know, not that much. Yeah, I got like 300. And my prized one, sorry, I have to literally have to look. Well, I have a box set by this band called Burst. Yeah, they're a post-prog metal band from Sweden. I don't know why I gravitate towards Swedish metal, but I think it's just there's something about the music they create has a very one of the most psychedelic and bluesy influenced types of music that comes out of Sweden.
Right.
And so Burst is from Sweden, and they released the box set like 2 years ago of all three of their past albums. Mm-hmm. It came with like a necklace. It came with like a guitar pick as well.
Right.
And all of the variants of each record is like very bluish green spiral. So it's very well done, a very well done pressing. So I'd say that is my most valuable possession for sure.
Got you. And listen, I know you were saying there's certain things you don't like. You got to check out Aftermath. I don't know if you ever heard of Aftermath.
No, I haven't.
I know you say you don't like thrash too much, but check out Aftermath. And my boy Charlie, yo, I like Aftermath. They get a little political and stuff like that. He's a great dude, though. Great dude. Energy out of Chicago. He's Greek. But listen.
Nice.
I love their music. I just love the energy of it. It's just something. I love what he's saying also. And great dude. So, why should people peep your amazing platform? I want you to get on your soapbox now. I want you to talk that shit.
Oh, gosh. It's weird for me to talk about selling myself.
Stop talking. Hold on. Easy.
Not that way, of course.
No, talk that talk, though.
Well, if you were really, truly in authentically looking to expand your music taste, expand your knowledge of what is under metal and what constitutes metal and what new metal bands are trying to get out and all that stuff. Or if you're not even a metalhead and you have this very narrow-minded idea of what metal is and you just want to see what it really is, you can give me a follow, because I intentionally go after what's new and what's just dropped and what's not being covered by mainstream. And I literally give it a listen and show you exactly why I like something. I never cover bands that I don't like. I'm not like some type of critic. I'm not really looking to like tear down bands. So if I post the band, then that's literally your cue to be like, okay, she likes that band, so let me see.
Oh, awesome.
So if you're looking to expand your music taste, and also to open your mind to what exactly the metal community looks like, because they're not all white guys, then you can follow me.
Ebony, that was actually amazing. And, no, seriously, there's been times through this conversation where I've gotten goosebumps because I just appreciate who you are and how you're delivering your message and what you're doing. I think it's very important. And the reason why I really wanted to have you on the show, because you are not the norm, you know, of what people usually see. And so that's exciting to me, and it makes me feel good. And I just applaud you for what you're doing. I think it's amazing. You have an amazing platform. And I think everybody and their grandmother, great-grandmother, grandfather, all of them, family, cousins, everybody should come and check you out, because it's enjoyable. You are educating as well as entertaining. And that's what I like to say. That's what I want to do also. I want to educate sometimes, but entertain more so. And so you're doing a great job. You really are. So the last question that I have for you is, what was the last song you listened to?
Oh, it would be this band called Spotlights I was listening to. They are from New York, I believe. And they're more on the, alternative post-rocky type deal. I feel like they're like a mixture of genres, and probably a little bit of indie as well. But they are a very, very engaging band, and I really like their latest album they put out. I think it's called The Alchemist. I put it out last year, and I have it on vinyl somewhere. Yeah, I just took it down. and it's just a very great album to zone out to, especially if you like shoegazy stuff. Very, very good stuff. I really enjoyed it.
The Spotlights, correct? That's what you said, The Spotlights?
Spotlights. Spotlights. Yeah.
The Spotlights, okay. Mm-hmm. Well, amazing. So the last thing is the floor is yours. Let people know where they can get in touch with you. And if you have anything you want to say, you know, about, you know, surfing or hang gliding or, you know, parasailing, you can say it now. It's the time to do it right now. It's okay.
Well, I want to thank you so much for having me on your show. I really appreciate it. If you're interested, and give me a follow. I'm Metal and Coffee on all the platforms. My main platform is Instagram. It's where I'm most interactive with people who follow me. And it's where you can send me your music if you're interested in sending me that. I don't really have much more to say outside of that, but just really appreciate you have me on. I appreciate it.
it is totally my pleasure. I have enjoyed every single second of this, and I knew I would. I kind of know when I see good people, and as my boy Relentless and Hell B says, you know, we just need more. You know, we need better human beings in this world. And I think that you're one of those human beings. And thank you very much. I really, really, really appreciate it.
Yes, thank you.
So, ladies and gentlemen, once again, you know who it is. It's the big guy with the big show, the Lord. I always got to pause, man. You know, Nelson, that is, from the podcast Live and Loud with the Lord on the CMS Network with Five Royals Entertainment. And this beautiful, lovely young lady, this amazing metal lover, this young lady, Ebony, your metal and coffee. Yes, indeed. You got a clap for us. Thank you, young lady. I really appreciate it.
Of course, anytime.
It's Metal and Coffee. I heard a little bit of this new song, and I just thought we should watch the music video together. So let's do it. Very nice intro. It's already starting out phenomenal. Okay, bass. The sum of all the things you were staying in my mind. This is my style. The clear talent that all three of them have is like blowing my mind. Okay, drummer. Oh, here we go. There we go. There's the technicality. There's the technicality. But
The chorus is really catchy. Like, once I know the lyrics, I'm gonna be singing this randomly.
You ain't shit, ain't never been shit, wouldn't have them hits if we ain't got you them shit, bitch.
Anybody that's ever been mean to me, if you having a hard time in life, good.
I am the Lord, Nelson, that is.
The Classic Metal Show now has all of our videos on Spotify. Simply look up and subscribe to the CMS Network on Spotify, and you'll get the audio and video podcasts each day from The Classic Metal Show. It's never been easier to listen to Mealy and Chris. So simply open Spotify, subscribe to the CMS Network, and enjoy The Classic Metal Show every single day. Hail and kill.